am I losing my mind? Am I crazy to believe that because of what I see, with the simultaneous converging of all of these major Bible prophecies, how can this, Lord, not be the end? I'm having considerable difficulty wrapping my mind around the notion that somehow this is all going to dissipate. And the pause button is pushed on prophecy, and we might have some more time. I'm having considerable difficulty wrapping my mind around the idea that everything that's happening right now, prophetically, is not that which we were told would happen prophetically, right at the time of the end, before the trumpet would sound, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Dead in Christ will rise first. When you step back from the proverbial tree, you're able to see the entire forest of Bible prophecy. And sometimes that's a good thing to do. Just kind of step back and get the bigger picture, because what you'll find is what's actually happening right now is that which we were told in the Bible would happen at the time of the end. You know, during the week when I'm out and about, I like to just kind of watch people from afar. I don't like them watching me, but I like to watch them. You know, people watching, isn't that a. But I look at the expression on their faces, and the first thing I'm struck with is they're hurting. They're hurting. They're fearful. They're troubled. But the second thing I'm struck with is they have no idea what's coming. They have no idea. If people only knew. They're just going about their business as it was in the days of Noah, buying, selling, building, planting, marrying, giving in marriage, eating, drinking. If they only knew. The problem is they don't know. And they don't know because they haven't heard. And they haven't heard because only few are sounding the alarm. And only a few are sounding the alarm and even talking about it, either because they themselves don't know about it, or they're afraid of what people might think. How they might be labeled. Oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm a date setter. They're going to think I'm one of those. I mean, I guess in all fairness to them, you'd have to admit the whole prospect of Bible prophecy being fulfilled in our day, it does sound a little bit crazy, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about it, what are the odds of Isaiah 17 concerning Syria, Isaiah 19 concerning Egypt, and all of the other Bible prophecies all happening in our day today? What are the odds? All the generations throughout human history, we are that last generation. What are the odds? What are the odds that we would be the generation alive that would be the Apostle Paul saying, we who are alive and remain? What are the odds? I mean, you have to be fair. That's not to excuse the unbelievability of this. Is unbelievability a word? Let's just say it is. It's really, I think, more an explaining of how unbelievable this is. Especially to the unbeliever. They don't have spiritual eyes to discern spiritual things. I mean, we might as well wear one of those sandwich board signs that say the end is near. Mine would say the end is here. That was back in the 90s. 10 years ago, it was near. It's here now. So I would have, so if you have, you know, maybe I just gave somebody an idea. If you're going to do this, end is here, not end is near. I mean, we're just going to be like all the other wackos. Here's where I'm going with all this. If we really believe this is true, then wouldn't it stand to reason that we should say something about it and speak up? Here's the question, and it's a question I ask of myself always. Would I rather say something knowing some will think I'm crazy and have it not be the end, rather than not saying anything only to have it be the end? That's why I will on occasion say we need to be as ready for the rapture as if it were today as we would be if it weren't for another 5 years from now. We need to occupy till He comes. And the reason is, I'd rather be ready now and have it not happen than not be ready now and then have it happen. And what have I got to lose? I can't imagine anybody in heaven saying, man, I wish I wasn't waiting for the rapture so long. Oh, I wish I wasn't watching for the Lord's return. And I know that won't happen because the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that there's a crown waiting for those who long for His appearing. I think Calvary Chapel Kaneohe is going to have personalized crowns. Right? Here's what I'm thinking. You guys are going to enter into heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, you went to Calvary Chapel Kaneohe? Hey, enter in this over here. Well, yeah. No, is that proud? Is that pride? That's pride. We long for His appearing. We're ready for His appearing. So what if they think you're crazy? Listen, I hate to break it to you. They already do anyway. Right? If you only knew what they really think about you, they already know you're whacked. So why not? We have nothing to lose. However, the unbeliever has everything to lose. They have everything to lose by us not speaking up. Namely, their soul for all eternity. Wow, Pastor. Kind of tense today, aren't you? Well, you know, maybe I need to be. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to provoke and challenge some to wake up. Wake up to the reality that this is the last hour. And all that stands between us and the rapture is that very last Gentile coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. The rapture has been called the signless event. When that time of the Gentiles is complete and that last Gentile gets saved, aloha, we're out of here. That's all that stands in between us and that trumpet sound. Hear me out, and we'll bring it in for a landing here quickly. I would be disingenuous if I were to give anyone the impression that we still have time. And I shriek in horror to think, because I'm going to have to give an account to the Lord as a teacher of His Word. From my perspective, and from what I know about Bible prophecy, I've been studying it for almost 30 years, teaching it for about as long. But from my perspective, something has got to give. And give now. You know what I see it as? I see it as a rubber band that you continue to stretch and stress for, you know, so long, so much, there's going to come a day when that thing is going to snap. It will have to give. And that's what I see geopolitically. This is how I view Secretary of State John Kerry. His pushing and stretching for this two-state solution, which involves Jerusalem, something's going to have to give. It's going to snap. I don't know if you caught the surprise press conference on Thursday by John Kerry, but I was stunned. I couldn't believe my ears. I had to go online after the news conference. I had to go online just to make sure that what I heard was what I heard. And it was. He was urging the Syrian rebel groups to attend the peace talks in Geneva. Are you kidding me? It's coming up this upcoming week. Here's a question. How long and how far can the Assad regime in Syria hang on? You would think that the day is coming when something is going to have to snap. Something is going to have to give. And here's another one. How long can the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu be stretched and stressed and pushed under unspeakable pressure to divide Jerusalem? Some of the news reports I'm reading make it very clear, in no uncertain terms, that the so-called Palestinians, my people, they will not agree to anything but a moving of the burdensome border stone of Jerusalem, Zechariah 12. Absent dividing Jerusalem, there's no hope of a so-called two-state solution. And Israel knows it. And Netanyahu knows it. And if that weren't bad enough, they've also made it very clear that they will not stretch out the April deadline for even one more minute to delay it. I suppose you could say it's do or die. Then, to make matters worse and to make you even more depressed, how about right here at home in the good old U.S. of A.? How much longer can our elected officials go on spending trillions upon trillions of dollars? Something is going to have to give. Unless there's some new economy or some new, mathematical equation or what do they call those, algorithm or something that, you know, supersedes the old economics that if you spend more than you take in, you're going to go bust. And it's not a balloon, it's biggest right before it bursts. I don't want to get into the whole stock market thing, but something is going to have to give. And when it does, it appears that the entire world geopolitically will fall like a house of cards. And what's interesting is there's a prophecy in the Bible that foretells this exact thing happening on a global scale economically. You just keep printing money, and then with hyperinflation, money becomes worthless. Like in Germany in the last century, you'd have a wheelbarrow full of money, and the wheelbarrow is worth more than the money that it has in it. Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. When the Lamb opened the third seal, this is in the tribulation, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales. Commerce, buying and selling, trade in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." In other words, you'll work all day for a day's pay, and the only thing the value of that money is worth will buy you 3 quarts of barley. Where I come from, they call that hyperinflation. Time doesn't permit to talk about Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, et al. All now fulfilling the prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And this prophecy, along with so many others, again, they're all converging simultaneously. I mean, just mathematically, statistically, the odds would just have to be almost incalculable to have everything that's happening at the same exact time, exactly as we're told it would. It's the likes of which we've never seen before. 10-15 years ago, this was not plausible. And I would suggest that even 10-15 years from now, this may not still be plausible. To me, prophecy has a shelf life. Call me crazy. I really don't mind, actually. In fact, you know what? It's almost a compliment now. Oh, you're one of those. Yes, I am. And I wear it like a badge of honor. Oh, you're one of those end times, guys. Yeah, man. I really am. Yeah, you still believe in all that he's coming? My great-great-grandfather thought he was coming. Cool. Do you? Oh, I don't believe in that. Okay. You will. You'll see. You will bend your knee. And you will bow. And you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you might as well do it now. More better than later. Maybe I'm losing my mind, but I think this is it. The time has come. The time is now. We're that close. I appreciate your grace. Can I just share with you in closing 3 Revelation passages about how... What are you going to say? No? Could you imagine? Somebody said, no, you cannot! Wow. Okay, well, I just thought I would ask anyways. Listen to what Jesus said about how close and how quick His coming would be and what it would mean for us as His bride. Revelation 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast. Hold on to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Oh, which crown? Oh, the crown that's going to be given to you for longing for His appearing. Have you lost hope? Are you losing heart? He hasn't come when you thought He would come. And for those of you who have been walking with the Lord for a number of years, and you thought He was going to come back in the 70s, can I just tell you from my heart to yours, I'm so glad He didn't. And I'm so glad you were wrong. Not for watching or expecting, but for losing heart when He didn't come in the 70s. Because I didn't get saved to the 80s. And how about those of us who thought, oh, for sure He's coming in the 80s? Well, some of you got saved in the 90s. Aren't you glad He didn't? Well, surely He was going to come in the 90s, and He didn't. Well, how many people got saved in the 90s? You get the point. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come like a thief. Thief in the night. Blessed is he who stays awake. Are you getting drowsy spiritually? Having a hard time keeping your eyes open, watching for His return? And keeps His clothes with Him so that He may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Do you have oil in your lamp? Are you dressed and ready to go, metaphorically? Lastly, Revelation 22:12, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. It may not be easy in these last days waiting for the Lord's return, but it will be rewarded. It will be worth it. Hang on. Hold on. It's not that much longer. Soon and very soon, He's coming.